because it was given to him by the priest, by the Catholic Church, and he was not willing to accept the church's name. So he changed his name from Gabriel to Uriel. And he became, he attempted to become a scholar in Judaism. Now, here you have a problem that existed throughout this period of time, and the problem was that the Muranos, the Jews who were Muranos, really knew next to nothing about Judaism. It's a little like, no, not as bad, but it's a little like some of the situation with Russian Jewry today, in which there is a great longing to be Jewish, but there's no knowledge of what it is to be Jewish. There's no knowledge of what the Jewish religion believes. And Acosta's version of Judaism was pure fantasy. His version of Judaism denied the immortality of the soul. His version of Judaism said that there was no world to come. His version of Judaism was that all of the observances and mitzvahs were merely customs and rituals, that they were beautiful but that they had no divinity to them. In effect, he had an imaginary Judaism. He also thought, which is a dangerous, dangerous thing that we can well attest to ourselves, a person that was persecuted for being a Jew and who stubbornly refused to knuckle under to the Catholic Church and escapes to Amsterdam, and he has a certain belief in Judaism, and worse than that, he has a belief in Jews, in the nobility of Jews. To him, the Jewish people are the perfect people, especially in opposition to the non-Jewish world, which was so cruel and coercive, negative. I had a Rebbe in the yeshiva who was a very great man, and he taught us very many great things, none of which we realized at the time that he was teaching it to us. But the Chazal tell us, the Talmud tells us, a person doesn't understand his Rebbe until 40 years. So by me, it's almost 40 years. I'm beginning to get the picture a little. One of the things that he always used to say is never confuse Jews with Judaism. Take a look at an individual Jew and his shortcomings. That has nothing to do with Judaism. And no matter how disappointed you are in Jews, that in no way diminishes the beauty and greatness of Torah and of tradition and of the history of the Jewish people. It's just disappointing to see the reality of people vis-a-vis the ecstasy of the idea, of the perfection of the imagination of what a Jew should be. Now, in every generation, there are righteous tzaddikim who live up to our expectations, more than live up to them. But most of us don't know people like that. And if we do, we don't know that they are righteous that way. In fact, that's one of the hallmarks of the righteous person, is that he's unknown. That's a catch-22 situation. You want to be a tzaddik, nobody knows. Anybody who knows that he's righteous is not righteous. That's the famous aphorism of the Rebbe of Kotsky. He said, I would rather deal with a wicked man who knows that he's a wicked man than with a righteous man who knows that he's a righteous man. God help us from people who know that they are righteous. So you have this problem that the reality of the Jew rarely, if ever, equals the dream of Judaism. So most of us, as we do in almost every other area of life, most of us are able to fudge it a little. We're able to make our compromises. We're able to live and make allowances for human weaknesses and human foibles, and to understand that many times the reality